join us for weekly entertainment, Trivia Tuesdays, and Major Prize Draws Thursdays. Saturday entertainment, Sunday brunch, and enjoy a beautiful meal at our award-winning restaurant. We look forward to welcoming you and yours for a great time in Raglan at the Harbourview Hotel.
Starting a landscaping project or just need ideas? Come and see us at Raglan Landscape Supplies. We have all the landscaping products you need. From stones to sleepers, sand to bark, drainage meters to builder's mix, pavers to compost. We even have a plant nursery. We deliver to your door. We have free customer loan trailers. We also hire out a post-hole borer, concrete mixer, compactor and water blaster.
Please check out our website, www.reglandscapesupplies.co.nz.
We are at 140 Tomato Road. Look for the big green wheelbarrow or ring 825 0577.
If you have ever thought about volunteering, now is a great time to contact Volunteering Waikato. Their website makes it easier than ever before to find the right opportunity in your town. Get involved in your community, boost your CV, meet new people and learn new skills. For more information, go to volunteeringwaikato.org.nz. Volunteering Waikato, enriching lives.
From 1994 to 2024, this is Raglan Community Radio. Our station, 98.1 FM, is celebrating its 30th year on air.
To our past and present DJs, sponsors, listeners and supporters, we say thank you.
Thank you. 98.1,
the best in the west.
Raglan Community Radio, at the heart of your community for 30 years.
Tune in and chill out.
And kia ora, good evening, whangaroa and Raglan. You're listening to Raglan Talking to Raglan on Raglan Community Radio. Here I am, your whangaroa, at 6 minutes past six. Reasonably early start, not 6 o'clock, but not too far away, until 7:30-ish. And let's have a look at what the weather's doing and all that sort of stuff. So you might have noticed it's getting cooler. So it was about 18 degrees in the hottest part of the day. Then it was about 15 only an hour or two ago, and now it's down 13 and heading down to 10, which is not as cold as it's going to get later on in the week. We have got a forecast that it's going to go down even lower. Computer's just told me that it's saving documents and that everything that I had lined up is not available just at the moment. But it is working on it, so I'll carry on with what I've got so far. So the weather looks like it's going to gradually improve. We're probably going to get some more rain on Monday. Might have an odd shower or so between now and then. In fact, up until the early hours of Wednesday morning, tomorrow morning, we're probably going to get a few showers around, and then it's going to die out from about 3 or 4 o'clock onwards to daylight, when we should hopefully have it fairly dry. So we'll see what it's like then. Whether the forecast is right. They usually seem to get them right these days. They seem to have improved forecasts quite a bit from what they used to be. But you never know. Anyway, the minimum over the next few days is going to be 5. The maximum is going to be 18, same as today. The pressure fairly low, which fits in with still having no showers, around 1,012 hectopascals. And in fact, I noticed the pressure's even dropped slightly. It's down to 1,011 now. So I thought it might be going up the other way, but maybe that just indicates we've got another shower coming along not too far away. Wind's supposed to pick up to a westerly of 20 knots. Got a fairly normal swell of 3 meters southwest. And the high tide tonight will be just gone 10:30. Have another one just before 11 tomorrow. 3.2 meters tonight, 3.1 meters the high tide tomorrow. And the days, of course, getting longer. It's pretty constant at the moment. So we seem to have about an extra 9 minutes in the evenings and about an extra 6 minutes in the an extra 6 minutes in the evenings and an extra 9 or 10 minutes in the mornings. So 25 to 7 for a possible sunrise and 3 minutes past 6, only 6 minutes ago for a sunset, but it was looking pretty dark tonight, even around about 5 o'clock, so it all depends how much cloud there is. Looking at what's on this week, so we've got the usual trivia night on tonight, 7 o'clock, Carverview Hotel. Then we've got the usual Raglan Ramblers going for a walk tomorrow, local walk this time, just going around the local Raglan area, also looking in at some of the art studios on the way, so a bit different in that way. Usual time and place, though, for Raglan Ramblers, 9 o'clock. From down towards the bottom of James Street, down near Wallace Street, near the Catholic Church, 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Then tomorrow afternoon, the community house have got trash to textile art sewing, waterproof bags, and gifting them to the community. That's happening there, 2 o'clock. 5:30 tomorrow, Gain Community House, they've got energy mentors with drop-in clinics. So if you want to save energy and reduce your fuel bills, that's a way of getting some advice on how to do it at the Community House. Community House, of course, just down from the roundabout on the top of Bow Street. Also tomorrow evening, Fire Brigade's got their annual meeting. I was discussing with Aaron a week or two ago that it seems to be the season for annual meetings. Most of the organisations' accounts go through to March, and by the time you get round to this time of year, the treasurers have had time to do their calculations and get their accounts approved and write all the reports and all that sort of thing. So it's a popular time for AGM to happen. I think that's the only one this week that I know of, anyway. The old school's got a clay workshop starting on Friday called Nourish Clay Hand Building. It's on for several weeks through to the end of September. $220 for that one, so you need to book in. Also on Friday, there's the Creating a Warmer, More Energy Efficient Home. And I'm hoping that I might manage to play the interview that Tanya did, I think it was this morning, talking to Aaron about that one. So that's coming up on Friday, 1 o'clock, also in the community house. And if you've been thinking or must get round to looking at the district council's consultation on we should do, or what they should do, or we should do with our reserves and libraries and parks and things like that, then that consultation closes on Friday. So need to think of that and have a look at the council's website. Go to the bit up at the top, the tab up at the top where it says Say It, and that's one of the, I think, two consultations that are open at the moment. The other one concerns the north of the district, so probably not worth worrying about for us. Then on Saturday, the bowling club's got its summer opening day, 9:30. The old school's got an exhibition on Carrioy, the geology of Carrioy, and there's a launch for the book, which came out a week or so ago, and has a lot of information or new information about the geology of Carrioy. Maybe heard the interview that I played last week, so that's happening 11 o'clock in the all on Stewart Street, just next to the church, on Saturday. And on Sunday, it's the second Sunday of the month, so usual creative market on 10 till 2 at the old school on Stewart Street on Sunday. So those are the things that I've spotted. As usual, there's loads of regular things happening. So if you're interested in all those things, look at our website, raglanradio.com. Go to the what's on page or tab on that, and you'll see a whole load of other things which are on every week and sometimes every day. So lots of things happening. The things in the news this week, a bit more news than we've had for a few weeks, but not all that much still. So the Waters Governance Board is meeting in a week's time. Their agenda is out on the council's website, and I noticed that they've appointed a new stormwater engineer. They seem to keep appointing them, and they seem to keep leaving, so I hope this one might stay a bit longer. We are overdue for having a consultation meeting on stormwater to see what's happening with it. So maybe that's one of the first jobs that they'll start with. But they started their job, what was it, 3 weeks ago, 12th of August. They've also noted that they've had problems on Upper Cross Street. Telecom managed to damage one of the water mains up there, and they also had a slumping connection, which was found not to be to code, which caused a failure. So Upper Cross Street's had problems. Tiarco's had problems for a long time just to cross the water from Raglan. So they're saying that the upgrade work has been delayed due to challenges with the property owner. We are now making progress as the property owner is getting close to consent from the council. So I'm not sure whether the property owner who allows them access to the water supply over there has been awkward because they weren't getting consent. It was a way of putting pressure on the council maybe to get a resource consent. Don't know. Doesn't go into the detail. But they say we have decommissioned the old bore and plan to relocate the potable water receiving tank in August. So should have been done by now. And a new rising main from the plant to the reservoir has been completed and commissioned. So Tiarco has been having trouble with its water supply for a while and looks as though maybe things are improving, but maybe not there yet. Council's also looking tomorrow at its road closures for motorsport events policy. They were supposed to have a hearing, but it got delayed to because of the death of King Tuhatia. I suppose Narawahia gets busy then, and maybe they didn't want to have another hearing when that was happening. Don't know quite what the story was, but anyway, they have produced a report that says that very few people seem to have taken much of an interest in it. 28 supported their policy and 15 didn't support it. And there's interesting comments, I think, in there, such as one that says Tony Quinn has made Hampton Downs prohibitively expensive for anyone other than elite racers to use. The use of district roads to hold car rallies increases greenhouse gas emissions and vehicle use, is what the council staff say. But they then set that against, this needs to be balanced against any social, community and or economic benefits. So quite how you balance greenhouse gases against those, I don't know, but that's the job that staff are saying council needs to do. So I suspect they'll still carry on closing roads for motorsport, and that they'll still carry on burning loads of greenhouse gas and adding to pollution and annoying some of the locals, well, 15 locals, it seems. 28 sported, 15 didn't. Quite a lot more commented from outside the district. So looks as though there might have been some lobbying going on because they balance outside the different districts and not the same as inside the district. It's 39 who support the policy and only 4 who didn't. There is going to be rather a council meeting happening on the 9th in 6 days' time. And the only thing that I spotted of interest to Raglan, maybe I missed something, but was that Raglan Holiday Park Capital Project is on their agenda, but then it says public excluded and doesn't tell us anything about what the capital project is. So something seems to be happening as regards the holiday park, but we don't know what. We might get to find out maybe in due course, maybe when it's too late to do anything, don't know. Or maybe it's something that we wouldn't want to do anything about anyway. Don't know. All we've got is this heading, Raglan Holiday Park Capital Project. There's also today the government announced their plans for what they're going to spend on transport over the next 3 years. They're planning to spend $1.9 billion on transport in Waikato, mostly on new state highways. And I did notice though that there's nothing at all listed for State Highway 23. Not even the Whatawhata roundabout is on there, which it was on the old plans, but that seems to have disappeared. And I also looked at what they're planning to spend on public transport in Waikato. And that's $138 million over the next 3 years, which, if my maths is right, is 0.75% of that $1.9 billion. So a really tiny amount being spent on public transport. So of course, they've scrapped all the new bikeways, walkways that the previous government were looking at doing. I did notice that they put $30 million taken from the railway fund into shipping. So $30 million won't go very far, but you never know. We might someday start using the port again. Port went out of use in the 1980s and mostly went out of use before that, but it was still getting cement delivered in those days. That's why we've got the cement silos. You never know, maybe that $30 million will come our way, but I rather doubt it. One of the things that is coming our way, according to Raglan 23, is that Liquid Laundromats has 120 sites in New Zealand, and they're setting up at the former $2 plus shop, or what used to be the post shop. And a sign on the door says opening soon. And rather than a cash payment system, they use a top-up liquid card, which can be purchased at the laundromat in $10 increments. And Roger comments that there was a time when there was one of most shops in the central business district. And progressively now there's a top this and a bottom that, based on their location up or down Bow Street. So I think he's saying that we're going to have two laundromats, one at the top and one at the bottom, or one on Winery Road. We've got many more than two cafes or two estate agents, so not quite sure how well that theory works out. But anyway, that was a comment that Roger made. It seems to me the problem is that increasingly we're losing the shops, which provided some variety from the cafes and estate agents and all the things like draperies and shoe shops and so on, and lawnmower shops and all those sort of things have disappeared. And of course, we just lost trade aid as well. One of the other stories that was in the Waikato Times, I think it was just over a week ago, was Raglan owners turn back on Airbnb and looked at the long-term rental market. I think there's some speculation in this story, but anyway, the Waikato Times said that Raglan got so many Airbnbs that owners struggling for clients are turning the spaces into long-term rentals. A few years ago, Alan Vink had a very high Airbnb occupancy and far more income than from a full-time rental. But now he said the market's flooded and that he'd added a studio unit for short-term rental when he built a new house in Rangitahi. But after putting it online in September last year, he soon realised that Rangitahi is becoming an Airbnb hub. And also the IRD changed its rules and dubbed something called the app tax, which came in from April, meaning that Airbnb has to pay 15% GST on its turnover. So he said that guests were paying about $160 for a room, which otherwise had been listed for $130. He also, Waikato Times rather also looked at the number of vacant buildings and reckoned that there were about 400 on Airbnb, 27 of them in Rangitahi. They also discovered there were about 100 places on Bookabatch in Raglan, and 75 on booking.com, so around almost 600 altogether out of what probably, not sure how many houses there are now, probably about 1,400, 1,400, so not far off half on that sort of rental. They also talked to Ray White property manager Russ Adams, who said, in addition to saturated short stay units, some landlords and tenants had moved to Australia. But they'd have to build a lot of houses to put a dent in the housing shortage, because he was still getting about 5 inquiries for rentals a day, mostly from people in town. And they also talked to Fiona McNabb from the Whangaroa Raglan Affordable Housing Project. And she said that their project had been quiet for the last 3 years, but last time they looked in 2018, 500 of Raglan's 1,500 dwellings were Airbnb and the like. And they also talked to CoreLogic chief economist, Kelvin Davidson, who said that the long-term rental market slowed down, exit migration was high, so that's the thing about people moving to Australia, and new builds were hitting the market, and international tourism wasn't back at pre-COVID levels, and domestic tourism was also quieter because interest rates have been higher and people are a bit more concerned about their jobs and cost of living. And I noticed that the news on COVID looks as though it's still improving, so it was better last week and it's better still this week. Still some way to go because there are still 88 cases reported in Waikato, 5 of them in hospital, which is still the same as last week, and a number of deaths down from 3 last week to 1 this week, so that's rather better news. So that's what I've spotted in the news this week. Let's go to the bottom of the hour and then we'll listen to Councillor Lisa, who talked to Aaron on Friday, I think it was, so see how we go with that. And if I press that button, then we should have half hour ad rotation, as it says.
Tune in for the best of homegrown music, old and new. New Zealand Music Show, every Tuesday from 11:30 until 1:30.
This is not the BBC.
I find that reassuring, but this is Lisa, our councillor.
Well, I want to welcome Lisa Thompson to the studio. Good morning.
Good morning. Morning, everyone. What a beautiful morning. I just want to take this opportunity
On such a beautiful morning to acknowledge the sad passing of Kingi Tu Heitia. Very sad news to wake up to this morning.
Yeah, that was I only discovered that once I got into the studio. So there's a 5-day perhaps tangihanga.
I don't know.
That's what I've seen on ARNZ.
Yeah. It will be massive. And it's just come off the back of the koranehana, so the king's coronation, of which, 18 years in the role as the leader of the kingitanga, following in the footsteps of Te Ataranga Kahu, his mother before him. Very sad news indeed.
Yeah, and at a time when we need people to bring us together, and you seem to be someone who could do that.
And I think as a figurehead, certainly he's done that, but the traction has already gathered momentum, as we can see across Aotearoa, with response from Hapu across the Motu, but also from Tangata Treaty, where we've seen action stations stepping up around the fast track bill, the Māori wards and constituency amendment bill. So there is a lot of momentum that definitely Kingi Tu Heitia, in January, when it's called for unity, kotahitanga across the nation, for not just te iwi Māori, but for all of us as a nation, in terms of that call to be New Zealanders, I guess, and unified under the Treaty of Waitangi. So that was massive, and I think it was the biggest events that had seen so many visitors in one day descend onto the grounds at Tūranga Waiwai.
Because you were there, weren't you?
Yeah, we arrived.
And they were. What were you saying? You were telling me last weekend they were expecting 5,000 people, perhaps.
And they were. They had expected officially when we arrived there. All of the people of Tainui were asked to attend the karakia first thing in the morning on the 20th of January, of which we responded to that call. So we arrived, and when we arrived at Tūranga Waiwai, there were already hundreds and hundreds of people from Hapu across Waikato and further afield who whakapapa tū Tainui, and it was amazing. And so as the gates were opened, because normally there's only one set of gates that are opened onto the Maraiati at Tūranga Waiwai, all of the gates were opened, and it was there that Ngera Simmons had said they had expected about 5,000 people, but were unsure whether there would be more. And, of course, as the morning progressed, like the flow of the river, the people came. And it was incredible to watch. And as the people came, the people of Tainui who were already there were asked to leave the Maraiatia and to go down to the riverbank, which we did.
To make room
for the visitors. So that was quite an incredible day to be part of, and just amazing to see the people at Tūranga Waiwai and of Ngārua Wahia and the area just responding to the flow of the manuhiri that were coming onto the marae and feeding them. I saw my cousin Winnie and others there. He was had the forklift, and he was bringing boxes of kai into different areas to feed all of the people who had arrived.
Yeah.
And then things like ice blocks being handed out, the drink bottles being filled, all of that, and boxes of food prepared, and he was bringing it in the forklift and delivering it to different sites. And then Ngāti Mahanga from Whata Whata, they had hosted the East Coast Hapu that had come through with Bain and Barber. Kahungungu, they had stayed at Papaorotu and Omairoa the night before, and they had prepared lots of kai for that manuhiri, which not all of it had been eaten, so they were distributing that as well on the day of the 20th. So incredible, and you saw that as well at the Koranehana last week, just the mobilisation of the people taking care of the manuhiri of the visitors that came to the Koranehana, which was incredible. And even just on the Friday where people bring loved ones who have passed through the year. On the Friday, you know, there were 2,000 people that had just come to that. And feeding all of those people, manaking them, looking after them, is no mean feat. Mm. But it's an incredibly well-oiled machine. And I've seen cousins posting about, you know, they would get there at 6 o'clock in the morning and they wouldn't leave until, you know, 10 o'clock at night, doing their role, whether it was in the kitchen or whatever it might be, that they would be responding. So quite incredible. So again, that the people will be there at Tūranga Waiwai for the days to come.
Yeah. And moving from that to the topic of Māori wards, as the Waikato District Council has, have you...
We've made a decision, and that was 2 weeks ago, and it was unanimous to maintain the status quo, of course, and that we maintain our Māori wards, which means that we will need to go to a poll in the 2025 elections.
So that's what the legislation says.
We have to. There were only two choices, to disestablish or not establish at all. For example, I think it's Upper Hutt or Lower Hutt had made a decision in this term that they would establish Māori wards in 2025. And, of course, the Māori wards and Constituency Amendment Bill was passed just recently. So before they established the Māori wards, they're not going to at all now. So they have rescinded that decision.
Yeah,
so there's only so far two councils out of the councils who are making decisions that have decided to. One council has said that they are going to disestablish without going to a poll. That was Kaipara. And, of course, Upper Hutt or Lower Hutt, whichever of the huts have, that they've rescinded their decision that they are going to establish Māori wards because they would need to go to a poll.
Oh, okay. So that was just a kind of a practical decision to save some money.
I haven't seen the court at all behind that.
Yeah, okay.
But I think there's about 20 councils who have stood by their decisions, including Waikato District Council, to keep Māori wards and go to a poll for the 2025, which means it will become into effect in the elections in 2028. So our Māori wards, as they exist today at Waikato District Council, will remain until 2028, but we will go out for a poll at the elections in 2025.
Was there a group of councils, like 50 or so, that... 52 collectively sent a message to the government about that?
Sent a letter. Co-signatories to a letter saying that they support Māori wards as they exist. And, of course, that fell on deaf ears. Because
which is
the
no
select
surprise.
Committee, it is. It's very unfortunate because
it's not,
the
it's,
select committee... hearing the feedback from not only the councils who, through local democracy, as elected members, made decisions to establish Māori wards and their capacity as decision makers in their communities like we did at Waikato District Council. And we actually did ask a question when we went out with our representation review about Māori representation, and it was supported. But because that came in after 2021, when the poll provision was taken out of the Local Government Act, the central government saw fit to not take that into consideration.
Yeah, and it's interesting, like all these councils have now had at least a term of... Well, part of a term of experience
of
having Māori wards.
That's exactly right. And we've all
found
seen
it useful.
The benefits, without a shadow of a doubt. And when you look at Waikato District Council, it was a unanimous decision in council 2 weeks ago to keep our Māori wards. We don't want to go to a poll, but the legislation is such that we would have to go to a poll because there could be the threat of... having commissioners come in, which would be ridiculous.
That happened to Tauranga City recently.
They
just got their
councillors. They were completely dysfunctional. Yeah. That was an intervention from a council that was dysfunctional.
Yes, yeah.
And
it's just a thing that can happen.
Oh, it can. And whether there would be an appetite for central government to, if 50 councils said we keeping the status quo and we will not be going to a poll, will there be the capacity to have 50 councils under 50, commissioners?
Have we got 50 commissioners available at the top of a hat?
And would commissioners go, would there even be a backlash from commissioners to say, well, this is a waste of resourcing when it's a legitimate choice from local democracy, would be my question. But I haven't spoken to any commissioners.
The councils are usually fairly hesitant to go up against central government, and from what I've seen.
But, you know, when it's something like this, when there are other matters, affordability, where there's three borders reform that needs to be undertaken, when there is infrastructure that needs to be funded and addressed, there are much bigger fish to fry, so to speak, in, around the decision-making table, you know, whether it's central government or whether it's local government.
Well, this is true. This is very true. So should we talk about Three Waters then? We've had, it's called Three Waters Done Better, which is a nice PR line. We have to refer to it as that, I guess, so everyone knows we're talking about the same thing. I was just saying to you off the air that Bernard Hickey's been writing some good commentary on the Three Waters thing, and the point he's been making all along is whatever plans Labor and National were coming up with, none of them were going to work until financially it was backed somehow by the government system. That was the big sticking point, and none of them wanted to have the debt on the council book. So it's an argument, it's behind the scenes, behind all the kerfuffle that was going on, and then I think this government's now finally received that message.
Well, that's the heart of it, really, because ultimately at the end of the day, these are the discussions that we've been having at Waikato District Council for a number of years. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. In 2015 or 16, when Council embarked on looking at options for our waters provision across our district, and we looked at that, the famous Cranley report that gave us those options, and that we were embarking on possibly a relationship with Waipa Council and Hamilton City Council about coming together to provide a solution or solutions for that very provision of that infrastructure across our three councils. But of course, Waipa and Hamilton at that time weren't ready to go into that partnership or that model. So we continued on that model, and we embarked in the relationship with Watercare, which has, in our mind, been really successful. And you've spoken to me and Jackie about this, and we've spoken about it. And we know that for our targeted ratepayers who are paying for the service provision of the three waters, you know, falls on only about 14,000 ratepayers to cover the costs of that provision. It's hugely expensive. And we were hoping that with the change of government, that this coalition government would see fit to continue a similar model, maybe tweaking what Labor had proposed and continuing with that. But in their wisdom, they haven't done that. So they've gone to local waters done well, and that the third reading of that legislation is happening. And so that will be enacted in the next couple of weeks. So it will give us some more clarity as a council on what those next steps will be.
So you're still waiting to see that legislation?
And we're already engaging with other providers. We're already engaging with other councils, Hamilton City Council and other councils, about what a waters relationship might look like. But until that legislation goes through and we have more clarity about that and about what will Watercare's role be in Auckland, you know, that's still an open book for us. But we certainly haven't been sitting around twiddling our thumbs waiting for what that might
look
like. No,
well, it's a matter of some urgency,
it is,
I think.
It's totally urgent because we already have high rates. Our targeted rates are all already incredibly high for that provision. And so we are acutely aware of the impact of that on our ratepayers.
So my understanding, although I said before that somewhere in the background there would have to be a backstop of government financing, Freddie's mowing the lawn. He's going to finish soon by the look of it. So the government wants... So they're going to give council-controlled organisations, which is kind of like Watercare, that's what Watercare is, the capacity to take on more debt, basically, so they can raise the money that's needed to do all the work that needs to happen to our three waters that's been kind of put off for a generation. But there has to, somewhere in there, I think local government in New Zealand is going to kind of guarantee that or something. So they're still putting it on the ratepayers and will be effectively putting up council debt through the CCOs. But they have had to say to the banking system that I think local government in New Zealand is going to back it or something so that they can get decent decent interest rates. Because it's all about your what is that rating like AAA and AA plus and things like that. You want to have a good rating because that means good interest rates. And little organisations can't get it rating.
And so
as the council has at the moment.
Yeah,
but if it took on huge amounts of debt to rebuild its three waters, that would change.
Yeah,
and this is my understanding anyway.
Yeah, and I think that. You know, it's complicated, and so we're not going to rush into anything, but councils are in those discussions and looking at what our options are and who may be another water care provider, because that's been hugely successful for us. And I mean, every morning I walk past the wastewater treatment plant on Wainui Road and I see the growing activity that's happening with our wastewater treatment plant.
The
upgrade,
new plant that's been built, yeah.
You know, and that's quite incredible. And, of course, you and Marky came to our tour when they had only a couple of months in and they'd already done great progress. But we can only do that. That's one part of the puzzle of that provision, because the next part of the puzzle will be our wastewater pumps, where are they, and the work that we need to do on those. And then there's the freshwater provision with our reservoirs and the future planning of that. So it's complicated. It's basic, but it's very complicated. And then there's the growth factor that we need to put into planning for the future of our communities, not just Raglan. So we, you know, rest assured that we're looking at all of those options, but it's not going to happen overnight. So once that legislation has gone through, we've got that plan and more of a steer from central government, then we'll be able to really look at what those options are.
All right, well, let's park that one and move on. Oh, we've been having fun with power cuts lately, and I was quizzing, not the one this week, but the one, I think it was a week ago. It's all starting to blur now, where we had a lot of Spark's cell phone towers lasted an hour and a half on their batteries, and their cell phone tower up behind Extreme Zero Waste, they put a generator there overnight, but just kind of let the petrol run out, or diesel, whatever it was, fueling it. It's just a reminder for me that we're not going to have, during a civil defence emergency, we're probably not going to have phone services. We need to be prepared for the fact that we're not going to have phone services. And we saw what happened with Cyclone Gabrielle, and it's obvious that no one's changed anything about our infrastructure.
You're absolutely right, Aaron. And I know that the Raglan Business Chamber have been very proactive in this space, sending out surveys to their members about the impact of the power outages have had on their business, and seeking feedback and wanting to engage with Well Energy and those service providers, which is fantastic. And it's great to see that they're taking that initiative. And I know that Katie Lowes has now been recently elected as one of the co-chairs on the Business Chamber. So it's awesome. Just wanted to acknowledge that the Business Chamber is, you know, their direction and how proactive they are in trying to engage with those service providers and looking at future planning for Raglan and for business particularly. But it does come down to that stark reminder that we need to be prepared, that agencies...
As individuals and
businesses, that we must find our own agency and be prepared for a minimum of 3 days. And I think if we can be prepared for a week or 2 weeks, look, we only have to look at the East Coast and their ongoing implications and impact of the weather that's having on those communities. And we are lucky because, in many ways, because we aren't isolated. We are close to main cities. We're close to Hamilton, we're close to Auckland, Cambridge. So we have existing infrastructure that we can reach out to when things happen. And of course, that's if all the roads are open.
Yeah, we know what it's like to lose the divvy.
Yeah, so, yeah. But if there was a real civil defence emergency, we also have the airfield. We can still have access to goods if everything hit the fan, quite literally. And I think, yeah, it does bring home, even last night when there was a power outage for however long an hour.
Was it where you are? I don't think we were fine.
Well, we can look over to the city of Raglan, the bright lights
disappeared, did they?
No, they were still on here, but our lights were off. But it was actually I find it quite comforting. But that's because we're prepared, so we could get out the candles, and we've got the battery packs that we can put if my laptop is dying or whatever. We've still got all of that capacity, and then we've got a generator, and we've got a warm house, all of that sort of stuff. So we really need to community be prepared, because the agency will come from ourselves but also each other.
Okay. That's the reality of it. There is a council review open for the community facilities and parks and things like that. At the moment, closes on, I think, the 7th of September.
Yes, so hopefully...
Have you heard much? Has anyone been talking about that? I haven't heard a lot of talk about that.
I haven't heard a lot of talk about that either. So it's a timely reminder to go onto the council website and under Say It, and then you can go in and have a read of all of that information. And, in fact, I'll put a link onto it on the notice board after this.
Yeah.
You know, because it's really important that we get the community's feedback on any of those.
Is this an early consultation?
It's a pre-consultation.
So, folks, when I hear you complaining that the staff have already written it and it's really hard to get them to change it, well, this is the pre-consultation before they write the draft, as my understanding.
That's exactly right, and they were seeking
input.
Yeah,
so now is a really good time to have your say. And so that's things like all our sports fields, and we've obviously got issues around football. Getting some space for football. It's about our public toilets, library, swimming pool potentially, I guess. People could talk about that, could they, if they wanted to?
They could talk about that in there, or probably the most appropriate place to talk about that as well would be in our long-term plan consultation process, which will be coming out. You know, we've got workshops on that, so it would be... more appropriate in there as well. But no reason why you couldn't put it in both. That's exactly right.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of things that, I guess, the ramps are part of some other bylaw situation or policy situation.
Which, you mean the boat ramps?
Yeah. Okay, so that's, obviously I know about the football because that's what I used to be involved with, and I know that there's an issue there around space because there's almost 300 kids this year.
It's big,
and I'm just trying to. I don't know if I'm just not aware of other things, or I can't think of other things apart from the swimming pool is what people are talking about.
Swimming pool. There's also connectivity. There's the connectivity in Wainui Bush Park. You know, cycleways. There's continuation of footpaths. All of those sorts of things, but probably, you know, that connectivity in our parks and reserves, what we would like to see in our parks and reserves. So there's lots of things. So I'll put that link up on the notice board, and please have a read of it, everyone, and have your say.
So I had someone email me the other day asking about rubbish on State Highway 23, and you had a check-in with staff about that, didn't you?
That's right.
Whose responsibility that is?
And it's definitely – it's not a handballing to anyone else. It's actually State Highway 23 is managed by Waka Kotahi. So, so that is the responsibility of Fulton Hogan, who – does all the rubbish there. And you might remember a number of years ago, and where Lee Knight, who was a community member who's since passed, was a passionate advocate for picking up rubbish. And we would meet, a group of us, with his white truck with trailer in tow, and we would do rubbish pickups between here and Waitatuna, Tuku, and we had looked at perhaps could we do rubbish pickups regularly from this side of the divvy back to Raglan.
And there was quite a few people involved with that, wasn't there?
There was loads. Cynthia Tucker, Jake Falconer. There were a whole variety of people. Mm. And I remember even talking to Rick from Extreme Zero Waste. What could we have some traffic management? Could we manage that? But it became very clear that we were unable to manage that in a safe way on the state highway. And the responsibility sits with Fulton Hogan. So I encourage people, when you do see litter, report that through to Fulton Hogan through the Waka Kotahi. So just keep on top of that.
Is there a place, you won't know this, but I'm wondering if there's a place on the Waka Kotahi website to
there must be.
Do that sort of thing?
There must be. I haven't actually checked. Do you want me to have a look now?
Well, because that's very boring radio, Lisa, when people check
websites.
Oh, yeah,
that's
websites.
Very boring radio. We don't want radio.
We won't be doing that.
No.
The CCTV situation, I know that this has been a slow-moving
And it's still slow-moving.
It's still slow-moving. So
it's still slow-moving.
The background for people is there is some funding, our council is working with Hamilton City Council and maybe others, I don't know, to set up a central point where the CCTV cameras can be put, and at some point someone's going to say, Raglan, you can have 5 more cameras or something.
Or maybe one, or maybe 2, depending on of the budget, because there's a number of communities that require CCTV. But, I mean, going into some sort of agreement would be with Hamilton would be awesome, because their technology is fantastic. And they are able to, and they're monitored 24/7.
Which has always been the issue for us out here, hasn't it?
And wherever the cameras are, if there's something that is identified as dodgy that's going on, it can be highlighted. So, you know, it's automatically highlighted. So I don't know how that mechanism works, but it doesn't necessarily mean that there has to be a person going, I think that that's dodgy. But if it's picked up as looking like there's something going on, it can hone into that. So, and the clarity, I think that you were at the community board meeting when our staff member, Alsanka, showed us the clarity of the CCTV and the technology that they have at Hamilton. So it would be awesome if we could have that, because then it means that it would be monitored 24/7.
Okay.
Where we just don't have that capacity.
Yeah, which is,
Or the resourcing.
Now, another question. Is the council happy with it? We've changed to 40 kilometre an hour from 50 kilometre an hour a year or two ago. Is council happy, or have you heard anything, or the police happy that people have slowed down? I feel like they have.
I feel like they have.
People have said they're not happy and they want judder bars.
Oh, and there are other people, and I've been engaging a couple of passionate community members about a raised platform on somewhere between the BP and the entrance to Raglan, a raised platform for crossing.
Oh, yes.
To make it safer.
Yeah.
And whether or not that will happen that's a discussion that we need to have. And from the perspective of some people is that the traffic hasn't slowed down when they are walking to school with their children. I think traffic has slowed down.
I think it has. Personally, I found when I'm in Hamilton, I'm like, oh, I'm driving too slowly. It's like my brain is set that – it's not that I drive at 40, mind, but I'm not driving as if it's a 50 zone and I'm trying to get every last...
And you're driving 70.
I never drove 70 in town.
No, but you know, like, it might be 50.
I just started a rumour about my driving.
No, but you know, like, people, it's 50, so people go 60.
Yeah. So now it's 40, so people go 50.
Or they might even go slower. And it was interesting, I was watching one of the kōrero on the notice board with the car that had passed, and it was a rainy day. You know, and the kōrero that was there, and someone had said, well, the speed limit is set. It's not a target. You know, you don't have to go that fast. You should go lower.
Yeah, go slower if it feels dangerous.
I feel as if it has gone slower. I mean, I've been walking every morning and I go along Wainui Road. So I come from Rerekiriopa onto Wainui to Marine Parade. There's still quite a bit of speed, I feel, between, you know, from Wainui Road into Raglan. But when you sort of hit the more built-up area, it seems to slow down. You've still got those people who drive like maniacs.
Yeah.
But that seems to be human nature of that.
Yeah.
But just slow down, people. What's the hurry? I mean, seriously. What is the hurry? And there seems to be a lot of aggro. So just slow.
Well, yeah, there is that, yeah.
Down.
Other thing that
bubbling away.
Listener wanted to ask about was potential for, what do you call those car stop bits of wood that you put in the ground?
I know what you mean.
Super value car parks.
Blocks.
Yeah, blocks of wood. You'll call them, yeah, because they block the car.
The blocks of the car. We haven't talked about that. That was probably 2 or 3 years ago when that was highlighted. And that hasn't been brought up again. I do know that the blocks that were put in down at the corner of Wallace and Bow Street in the car park outside of Orca, those blocks that are there by the footpath have been quite dangerous, and there has been a community member who stacked over that and broke their collarbone and hurt themselves quite badly. They didn't realise they were there, and she got off her push bike and was pushing it, and then she stacked it. So there is that. So the perceived danger with, if you were elderly getting out of your vehicle, you didn't know those were there, or if you had a problem. So that was quite an accident that happened down there, falling over those blocks.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting perspective. What else did I want to bring up? Let me see. Should we go into other things? Trade Aid is closed. Were you still involved with Trade Aid?
I am, and I walked past this morning, and Eloise, our manager, has finished cleaning up in there. So it's, it's all empty now. So all of the stock has been taken out. We've been lucky at the iHub. We have repatriated quite a lot of the gear from there, which we're going to be putting into the iHub.
To sell?
Or the infrastructure. The infrastructure, so the ladders and things like that. So we were lucky enough to buy some of that. So bits of Trade Aid will still no doubt be in people's houses, like in my whare, quite lavish in Trade Aid goods. In fact, when my children were smaller, my son, who is now 21, said to me, "Mum, I don't want any more presents from Trade Aid. Our house is like a mini Trade Aid." So I'm pleased that our house is rich in, you know, the gifts from Trade Aid.
Yeah. And people can still buy them, can't they?
Yeah, people can still buy from the online portal, so from the Trade Aid online. So you can still get your Trade Aid fix there. But it is a sad day, walking past there this morning to see that shop empty after so many years of operating in Raglan.
Yeah. And you were just telling me before we went on the air about Fens, and you are on – something to do with Fens. Tell me about that, because I don't know the
deal. I applied. I was contacted by a local person who's involved in Fens, who'd sent me the information about the local area committee, and I actually thought that he was sending it to me so then I could think about who might be appropriate for it. And so I said, I'll have a think and I'll send it out to my networks. And he said, I think you should apply. And I said, oh, really? He goes, yep, absolutely. So I went through the process of applying, and I had to, put in an application and have referees and everything like that. And I had an interview. And then that goes to the national Fens panel, and then the local area committees. This is the local area committee for the Waikato area, which is quite big. And so I was appointed, which is awesome. So it's having local voices.
So Fens is Fire and Emergency Services,
New Zealand. And they've got area committees that are localised. So obviously Waikato's big. So there are people, I think there's 6 or 7 of us that are appointed from across the district to sit on the local area committee. And we help inform from a local perspective, what support or what is needed in communities in times of need, resourcing for our local fire and emergency services, responding in times of risk, whether it's, a Cyclone Gabriel, that type of thing. So we've got our first meeting soon, actually, which will be online, and then we've got a two-day induction in September.
Okay.
Well, October, actually, where I'll get to meet my colleagues.
This is like a governance role.
Yeah, it's from a governance role and putting into planning for that. So, yeah, I feel really stoked to be on that committee.
Okay. Well, we've had quite a long discussion today. Is there anything else before we go that I hadn't thought of that urgently needs to be communicated? Probably not, but...
Not off the top of my head.
Yeah, we've gone deep dives on a few other things.
Yes, we've had a good discussion. And just be safe, everyone. Take care. And take care of each other. Remember, plan for the unplannable in terms of getting your whare and your family ready should anything happen, should the power go out or there's a weather event. And just take care.
Mm. All right. Thanks for coming in, Lisa.
Hi Raglan, Wayne, Super Values. Come in and check out our great specials with over 1,000 every week. If you are a gold card holder, every second Tuesday is for you. Present your card and receive an instant 5% discount on your purchases, including all existing specials. Our community cash grants are available to all local clubs and organisations. Our New Zealand Post and Kiwibank staff are here to help. We look forward to seeing you in store and being part of this great Raglan community.
Do you want to switch to clean and renewable energy and reduce your electricity bills? Then Stendi Solar is here to help you. We provide customised solar solutions for residential and commercial properties. They're designed to reduce your carbon footprint and contribute towards a sustainable future. Our team of experts provide maintenance services to ensure your solar panels are installed correctly and always functioning efficiently. Call us 825 0214 or jump on our website at stendisolar.co.nz.
Looking for a conference room for your next get-together? Raglan Holiday Park's Hui Room is a modern facility that caters for up to 35 people. And with large screen, bathroom facilities and a full kitchen, it's perfect for team building, meetings, events and more. The Hui Room is only a few metres from the beach, which is great for extra activities, and accommodation is available for anyone coming from out of town. We do great discounted rates for locals too, so give us a call on 825 8283 today.
Raglan Community Radio supports the code of broadcasting practice for the broadcasts of its radio programs. If you hear something you find offensive or intentionally misleading on our station, you have the right to complain. A formal complaint about a specific program or incident must be made within 20 days of broadcast of that program to Raglan Community Radio, PO Box 126, Raglan.
Raglan Community Radio.
Which is where you're listening to Raglan talking to Raglan. And it's just gone 7 minutes past seven. And one of the people that Aaron talked to this morning, I think, was the Tanya about the energy workshops. You might remember that I mentioned them in the things coming up. So let's hear a bit more about them.
Hey, you got the morning show here on Raglan Community Radio. That was John Toogood with Last of the Lonely Gods. And in the studio, we've got Tanya Ashman from Community Energy Whangaroa. Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice day out there, isn't it?
It's beautiful. Second beautiful day. Spring's here.
It's going to rain later. It's going to rain later, which is also very springy, isn't it?
Yep, it is.
One thing one minute, one thing the next.
So everyone get out there, enjoy the sunshine now.
Yeah, there is literally a front coming through in the afternoon sometime. We're here to talk about... cold houses, sick families, sky-high energy bills, and what to do about it.
Yeah.
This is the story?
Yeah, this is the story.
And Community Energy Whangaroa does other things too, right? Like, what's the story with that? Like, you're here specifically to talk about What are you here specifically to talk about?
About our healthy homes aspect of Community Energy Whangaroa.
Yeah.
But Community Energy Whangaroa is a wonderful organisation, and our mission is to eliminate energy hardship, reduce our carbon emissions, and increase resilience of to the impacts of climate change in Whangaroa. Fantastic vision.
So you're not involved. You're not involved with. I know there's been talk, and I don't know how far ahead it's progressed or if it's just a good idea of having like a solar farm and things like that. Like you're not involved with that kind of thing.
No,
that's not your side of
that's not my
community
side.
Community Energy Whangaroa. We need to talk to Jody or Rick or someone.
Jody and Rick will be the ones to talk about.
Okay.
And there's some really good stuff happening in that in those areas.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of like the big scheme.
Yeah,
but the little scheme is that you can give advice to people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So part of the healthy homes is we're here to help people use their energy more efficiently, which is good for the environment, of course.
Yeah.
And it's good for households because they can choose they understand how the energy works, what are the most efficient appliances, how the science of their homes work. They can make really informed decisions on what appliances to use, how to keep their home warm, healthy and dry. And yeah, and that priority means that you get the best out of your energy.
And your money. Yeah.
Yeah, which is what we're wanting.
The other thing too, I say, like having seen some of the things you do, like it just make the house nicer to be in.
Yeah, so we spend a lot of time in our homes, and if our homes are cold and damp, that's not where we want to go home to. And sometimes we're just so used to it, we stop thinking about it, but there's lots and lots of little behavioural changes, things that we can do that don't cost a lot of money but can make a huge difference.
So you've got something this Friday.
Yes. So part of the Healthy Homes Initiative, which Community Energy Whangaroa is supporting, is to give advice, and we're doing this at the moment. We're doing this through the form of a workshop. It's a free workshop, and it will be run from 1 to 3 p.m. This Friday, 6th of September, at the Raglan Community House. And we have Denise Twentyman, who's a home performance advisor and our local financial mentor, so she's got both those hats on.
Yes, yep. Yeah, I get lots of emails from her. This is what we're doing at the community house next. And tomorrow, I think there's something on, a sewing thing.
That's just buzzing at the community centre.
That might be part of Sew Timber as well, which I'm doing an interview about Sew Timber tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, plug for Sew Timber. We're all doing a sew-a-thon as part of it. And come along and sew up draft stoppers for Community Energy Whangaroa that we can hand out to folk. So it's pretty cool.
Accounting
There's lots
plan.
Of things happening for September.
Yeah,
that's
yeah well,
just
we're
one
talking
of them.
To Sally Fraser, who actually, she lives out here, but she works for the council as well.
Yes,
so
we're
talking to her tomorrow, 9 or 9.30? Probably 9, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where was I? So draft stoppers are good. So there's lots lots of things that we can do to make our homes warmer and more energy efficient. We've got this amazing workshop, which Denise introduced before, and Christy, who's an energy mentor, and they're running this workshop, which is quite hands-on, very practical, lots of get-up little ideas to help you understand how your home works.
Cheap ideas?
These aren't, you know, you need to put in expensive appliances or
rip your lining off and put insulation in the walls.
Those are fantastic things to do, but some of us haven't got the finances to do this.
Yeah,
so this is the very practical, sensible things to do on a cheaper budget, because the actual title is Creating a Warmer Home Without Breaking the Budget.
Yeah, breaking the bank.
Breaking the bank.
Did you make the post-it?
No, I didn't. And I can't read it from here because it's cool.
Yes, I should have put it closer to you. But I wanted to read it too. It's effectively my notes for the interview.
So, yeah, cozy up.
Yeah.
Creating a warmer home without breaking the bank. Yeah.
Yeah. And okay. And but there are, I mean, you guys can help people with the more expensive options too.
We can give advice. Yes.
Yeah.
And we're also, because this is a really new initiative for Community Energy Whangaroa, so we will be able to visit homes to do a healthy home assessment and give advice on that.
Oh, yeah.
And also able to assist people or point them in the right directions if to make sure that they're not missing out on any eligibility for some subsidies through the Warmer Kiwi Homes.
Okay, so they can subsidise insulation programs.
Yeah, Warmer Kiwi Homes can
insulation installation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does the installation, but we can support people to make sure that they know that they're eligible and make sure they can put in their application.
What if you're in a rental and you don't own the house and you don't get to decide what happens to it?
That becomes a bit more of a challenge. So at these workshops, our approach is to give renters knowledge, because knowledge is power, on what the healthy home standards are and what their rights are regarding the healthy home standards. Now, we all know that tenants may not feel confident or may feel too vulnerable to create waves or dobbin their landlords. Yeah. But if you have the knowledge, then you can make that decision. And also, next time you're looking at a new rental to go into, you've actually got more knowledge about...
You can assess it a little bit.
A bit more about what's better about that house over this house. So that's what we're doing.
For people who've got... It will certainly feel like they've got no choice where they are. There are still things that you can do that the landlord's not going to be bothered by, like those door snakes.
Draft stopping... putting up good fitting curtains, and they don't have to be expensive. There's lots of ways that you can do it with putting up sheets or blankets, pinning them up behind the curtains so you get the double layer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so there's lots of things that we can do. It's not everyone's favourite thing, but I've done it myself, especially in the bathroom and toilet rooms, is bubble wrap. It creates a double glazing effect.
Oh, yeah,
thermally.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and you don't look out those windows anyway.
Well, they might already have the patterns on them anyway.
Frosted. So often you don't even notice.
So lots of ideas from the whole scale of the cheap, non-invasive kind of ways of doing it to the full-on expensive, might be able to get a subsidy to do it.
Yep, so we can do the whole range.
Yeah.
And behaviours. So discussion about the issues of humidity. You know, we're in an island. We have very humid air.
It's been very humid lately.
Really humid.
That northerly flow is something else. Yeah.
So when we have humid air in our homes and our homes are cold, it's a perfect scenario for growing mould. So how do we get – what behaviours can we do to get to keep humidity out and get humid air out, and then how can we use our heaters more efficiently?
It's really noticeable that when they were building houses over 100 years ago now in this country, they'd invented those double-hung windows where you could lift the whole – you create a huge hole in the wall for air to flow through. And that was partly for health reasons as well, I think, from what I recall, because, you know, the communicable diseases were much more of an issue back then. They didn't necessarily – did they have penicillin 100 years ago? I don't know.
I think it was in the – 30. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. No, but I do remember. I remember that specifically is why those houses had that
ventilation, fresh air.
Mm. Yeah, and it's going to help with humidity as well. Yeah.
So we're real advocates of controlled ventilation. So you choose when to open those windows, get the cross breeze going, and then you close windows. So we're not so much for just having trickle. Yeah, that cold air coming through all the time.
Yeah, well, July, August, you don't want too much air going through your house.
No, it's a trick, isn't it? And damp.
Yeah, that's the hardest, but that's where the insulation does make the difference, doesn't it?
Yeah. And retaining that heat.
Okay. Well, folks, we'll be talking to Tania Ashman from Community Energy Whangaroa. And do people need to sign up to this?
It would be good if they could register, because we actually have a variety of wonderful energy-efficient resources that people can choose to take. So we've got things like LED bulbs.
Oh, okay.
Draft stopping that you can stick around your windows and your doors.
Yeah.
Some retrofit double glazing, which is a sort of a plastic film that you can put on your wooden window frames.
Yeah.
What else is there? Draft stoppers, squeegees, sponges to collect all that condensation that might be happening on your windows, and also hygrometer thermometers, fancy word, hygrometer, and that is to measure your relative humidity and your temperature. And we give people these so that they can actually measure what the temperature and humidity is in their houses, because often people overrate how warm their house is and have no understanding of how damp their houses are.
Yeah, that's a hard. Well, yeah, unless it's extreme, which often is, you may not know.
But you can easily get used to it as well. So being able to measure and then being able to get some good feedback of your behaviour changes, and you go, oh yeah, that made a difference.
Yeah.
So yeah, we hand out those as well.
So you can book at Humanitics, or is there a?
Yep, you can
websites.
Go to Facebook. Community Energy Whangaroa or Humanitics. Yeah, those are the best places.
Okay. And on Humanitics, oh, it's Cozy Up. Yeah, Cozy.
Cozy
Dash Up is what it's got. Okay, and you can register there. And it is going to be at the Community House Friday afternoon, 1 till 3. Thank you for coming in. Is there anything else you want to talk about, Tanya?
Oh, I think that's covered it this time. And
okay.
It's a free workshop.
So that's on Friday. And just got time to fit in an interview on did play last week, but it's a bit out of date, but talking about Raglan Club.
Hey, you got the morning show with Aaron. That's Matt Joe Gow there with Grand Ambition in the studio. Oh, yeah, how to do... Yeah,
I don't know if that's a thing or not. Maybe some other mums out there can confirm, but
I've heard that a lot.
It was crazy. I was not expecting that, so it has taken me a minute just to flip my brain back on. We really want as many people as possible.
It's not restricted to anything particular...
We would love it to be mostly local, and they will probably get a priority.
Yeah.
But I'm encouraging anyone to apply, and collectibles, vintage. We're not going into the food space at this time because we are launching a new cafe over there.
Oh, okay.
So the Raglan Club will be doing some market food. So anything other than food and drink, I would love to hear from you if you have some creative things that you're selling.
And if shoppers want a food or drink, they can pop inside.
I'll figure out a way how to make it clear that that's what's happening.
I remember when they had that Christmas one, was it last Christmas that the old school did?
Mm-hmm.
They had a few of the stall holders were inside, so
in there.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well that's the thing. If it's bad weather, there's a whole deck.
Yeah.
That we can utilize, and
they were even inside, they were around on the dance floor.
Yeah.
Because that was the old floor, not the new floor.
It's so massive in there that you can do anything.
Yeah, yeah. So that's coming up. So people should just get hold of you. How do they get hold of you at the club?
info@raglanclub.co.nz.
Okay, nice and easy. All right. And what else? You've got a big list in front of you.
I've got a big list.
Yeah.
So Thursday night's our music night at the club. That's tonight. So every Thursday we have some sort of live music going on over there.
Yep.
And it's usually James Ray. He's an amazing cowboy. And he has a pack of line dancers. So they do a lesson from 5:30. So if you've never done line dancing before, they are a lovely group of people that will teach you right from the top. And then James Ray starts at 6 and they have a little boogie on the floor. And once again, everyone is encouraged to come and have a try. It's not... It's not a place for professionals, although some of them are very professional.
Right, okay, but don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid, no.
Yeah, yeah.
There's always kids that get up and have a boogie up there.
Yeah, so that's tonight.
That's tonight.
Yeah.
And on the last Thursday of every month is open mic night.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we encourage anyone to come and have a go. We usually will give... about 15-minute slots.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to have a few songs under your belt to get up there and give it a shot. But, yeah, even if you're thinking about that, that's something that you might want to do, come and check it out next week and, yeah, just see what's going on over there. There's some really cool artists that come every single week. And
do you need to bring instruments?
They do have a setup, but that's why I say if you are wanting to come and check it out on Thursday to see the setup and what you might need to bring. But there's pretty much everything set up there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And then along with Thursday night, there's also steak nights for $18. So steak and chips, line dancing, cowboys, steak. What more could you ask for?
There's a theme emerging. and you've got a gig on tomorrow night, Friday night, haven't you?
Yes, Friday night. Very exciting. We have a free gig that's starting at 7:30 p.m. And it's a new band. Well, they're not super new, but new to me and a lot of other people in Raglan, and they're called the Raglaners, and they're kind of a blues rock, very, very cool band.
So there's no right.
Yeah, they're awesome. They came down to our open mic night, and I said, please come and play for a whole gig, because people just couldn't get enough of their little snippets.
Okay, all right. So that's 7:30 Friday night from 7:30.
From 7:30, free. So just come on down and check it out.
That might be the only gig on Friday this weekend.
Perfect.
I think I'm just trying to think what there was. I think it's pretty quiet. Oh, there's a poetry slam. That's about it. Yeah, things are real quiet at the moment. So it's in some ways, it's a good time for you to be doing this, doing these new things.
Yeah.
Awesome. Give people something to go to.
Yeah, come on out, Raglan. Brave the cold.
Yeah. So and what else? You've got, like, there's lots of things you're doing. So what else have you got on that list?
So I'm really trying to tap into the music space over there. We're going to look at doing a Sunday lounge session as well on a Sunday afternoon. So I would encourage any musically inclined people to get in touch with me about that as well.
Yeah.
We also do Sunday roasts. So there's cheap meals going on a Sunday, and there's a lot of people there already. So I think that would be a good time to perform.
Yeah, okay.
Casual dining music.
The stage is set up. And I was about to go into all the details. They can get in touch and find out what they need to, instruments and things they need to bring.
Yes.
Yeah. But there is a, is there like a permanent, there's a permanent stage set up?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I've got people, kids peering in the window. That's what happens when you're on the main street. So that's a happening thing.
That's going to be happening really soon.
Okay. So not right away.
Well, yeah, as soon as I get enough people to make it a regular thing.
Okay, you've just got to get a collection of musicians together.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
We'll line you all up and then we'll market it all.
Okay, info@raglanclub.co.nz. We keep saying that for people.
Yes.
Yeah. What else we got?
I just want to talk about what's already been going on over there and has always been going on over there. It's a thriving community that I feel like a lot of Raglan don't know about. I have a young family. I'm in my 30s, and a lot of my friends and circles have never stepped foot over there or know what's happening. So it's a really family-friendly place to bring your kids for dinner. There's a big garden out the back. There's a huge dance floor that could and space for kids to kind of run around. So we have cheap drinks, cheaper food, and it's a real community hub that is underutilized. And so I just want to encourage people that haven't checked it out to come on down. And the membership kind of can scare some people off, but anyone can apply to be a member. It costs as little as $10 if you just want to dip your toes in and check it out.
Yeah.
You don't need to be a member to eat or be there. You only need to be a member if you're consuming alcohol, because that's the liquor license that we have.
Okay, yep. Yeah.
Yeah, so come on down and have a meal or check it out. I'm sure there'll be a friendly member that can sign you in if it's your first time.
Okay,
so you can
be there as a guest as well.
Yeah, you can just get someone that is a member to sign you in. And there's always members hanging around that are welcoming new people.
I must admit, we did that when we were in our 30s and had little kids. There was a group of us who used to go there, a group of families used to go there because it was a cheap night, you know, a cheap dinner, and there was a bit of space for the kids.
Yeah.
And we did that for a little while. It was quite nice.
Yeah, I don't feel like there's anywhere else in Raglan where you can take your kids and they have a lot of space to kind of run around.
And we also, we I don't think any of us had a lot of money at that stage of life, so.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
I'm there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's That's part of that story.
Yeah, we have happy hour every day from 4 till 6 p.m. And we have house wines from $6.50.
Okay.
Like, where can you get a wine for $6.50 these days? And beers start from $5 during happy hour, like a glass of beer. So, yeah, I mean, I just want to encourage that. If you're feeling like you can't go out and in this economy where times are tougher for families, like, that is an achievable place where you can still not cut out your social life completely.
Yeah, for sure. and so you're looking for more musicians, more events like that.
Yeah. If you have an idea that you want to bring to life, I would really encourage you just to get in touch with me and have a chat. A couple of weeks ago, we did a sold out makeup event over there.
Okay.
There's a huge dance floor and stage, so she did a makeup demo up on there. And if you are a member, then you can utilize and book that space out and do whatever you want over there. Like, the options are endless.
Hold your own events of any kind.
It's a community space. We're a non-for-profit, so there are lots of sub clubs that are going already. Darts clubs, snooker clubs, eight balls. They do tournaments every Sunday afternoon. There's fishing clubs, bowling clubs, travel clubs. So, if you're looking for a community or engagement like that, or you want to start your own community like that, that's the place where we can make it happen.
You've got the capacity to do that.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right. So, folks, we've been talking to Emma, who's the manager at the Rack and Club. Been in the job 8 weeks. Lots of things already happening.
Yeah, thank you so much chatting with me today.
Oh, that's all right. And we'll keep chatting to you as well with, sounds like you're promising lots of things will be happening, so we'll keep up.
Yeah, I'm promising. See what's going on.
And I'm sitting here right now, I can see the club across the road, and there are projects happening. We're not really talking about them just yet, are we?
Diggers out there.
We're not making announcements about what's happening just yet, are we?
Just drive past and see for yourself.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in, Emma.
Hey, we just got to the bottom of the hour. So if you have been, thanks for listening to Raglan Talking to Raglan. If you haven't, then we've got music coming up. I hope you might miss joining me next week anyway, 6-ish till 7:30-ish here on Raglan Community Radio.